love, everyone. We got a huge crowd here today. There you go. You may be seated. Rejoicing in Yahweh. While Yahweh has set this table for us in the presence of our enemies, I tell you, the world is getting ready to blow themselves apart. They're now trying to warn the people to get prepared for the worst. Yes, nuclear attack, and this has just come out yesterday. I'll read it to you later, but I want you to keep it in mind during the sermon today. People are using ice water to lose weight. That was a big thing, I guess, yesterday on the news. That it causes you to lose, to burn calories 50% faster. Another way is to shut off your gas hot water heaters and stop giving all this money to the gas company. it works. That's the reason the Okies were so slender and so slender and beautiful, all them Okies in Oklahoma. We also have people making it big in practicing the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program in business, making it big in business in Abilene. I got to show you this. I don't know if you know this couple here or not, but the newspapers wanted to put their picture in the paper. It says TNT Plumbing. Our brand of service begins with honesty and fairness is the slogan for TNT Plumbing, owned and operated by Toby and Tamar Grinowich. They believe everyone deserves respect and everyone deserves to have honest and trustworthy relationships. Boy, if the world only could forget this. They believe, and they also practice what they believe, it so much they have a mandatory training course called the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. That each one of their employees is required to take before they put him to work. Him or her to work. Isn't that beautiful? The government, they're getting ready for war. And, of course, we knew it. We knew what they were bringing. We kept preparing. They quit preparing. We kept preparing for these days and for what's going to take place. One thing we're seeing, and this is what you have to keep in mind, is the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes have come down to us today as Yahweh showed they would in Genesis 49. Now, they have taken over the nations. They've become a multitude of nations. They've established nations all over the world, including Oklahoma, the last nation. The prophecies concern and depict the end result of their multitudes of nations. And their combination of rebellious genes that Yahweh shows in Genesis 49. Now they're taking the genes. They have a great way of doing this. Now they can trace the genes, and they're almost weekly now, we're seeing things come out tracing the people back to the Hebrews, or what Yahweh calls Israelites. The world calls them Jews. That's a dirty name, and I hate to even use it. But the people that are calling them Jews and trying to slur them are Jews themselves. Of course, they're Israelites themselves. They just don't know it. But they're finding out slowly and surely. From that, in this time period, the nuclear time period, of course, Yahweh also has a righteous work going. And you're sitting in it at this time. It was prophesied to be established along with this time period. And of course, I read the dates to you last week. I've got the articles here. But back in my lifetime, in I believe it was 1939, I was about 4 to 5 years old. At that time, I was born in 1934, and they had a project going called the Manhattan Project that, of course, invented the atom bomb, which was used on Hiroshima and another one that was used on Nagasaki. And, of course, they got a quick surrender after using those two bombs. Since then, we have larger nuclear bombs, and this is what they're afraid of now, and they're calling this the unthinkable. But I want you to think about this, because the Tinker Field, which is in Oklahoma City, or Tulsa, Oklahoma, I had my brother-in-law worked at Tinker Field, and of course he helped produce the war, tools to fight the wars, what they call Tinker Field there, that's a bomb factory. But I was brought up in that time period. I was born in the time period. I was raised in it. And Yahweh said, his prophecies show that in this generation, you're going to see this. Now, isn't it strange that you would see the bombs that, especially when the prophecies there wasn't even a firecracker when the prophecy was written, but they said there'd be bombs that would actually darken the sun and the fallout come down upon you until you be destroyed. And of course, he's speaking to the 12 tribes of Israel, and I'm going to lace this in this sermon to where you can understand that he's still dealing with the 12 tribes. And he's prophesied this work in the last days to go along with, at the same time, or abreast of, this the wars that is slowly taking over because of the what Yeshua said in Matthew 24. Let's turn there and read that. To make no mistake about it, but in Matthew 24, the third verse of Matthew 24 starts with the end, showing them the end of the age. And Yeshua said, in speaking of this time period, he said, of course, in verse 7, there'd be the earthquakes, the disease epidemics, which we have many now, and starvation, famine going on, which it's already started. Many false prophets in verse 11 throughout the world till Revelations 12:9 says the whole world is deceived, being run by sodomites whose minds are so confused that Yahweh shows, and we got up to that point last week, if you remember. I want to show today, if we can get back to it, but I got to show you some other things first, how it actually confuses the mind to where there's nothing but hatred, bitterness, lust, retaliation, the same thing we saw in Cain. And, of course, First Yochanan says that all the world has gone the way of Cain. Well, if you would believe the prophecies and look at the world and look at what's taking place, the very fact that the house of Yahweh was established in a time period when we have nuclear bombs that can fulfill verse 29. And what's caused the nuclear bombs that they're so scared of now, they're saying, this is unthinkable. I don't even want to talk about it. And I certainly don't want to go on record. This is what the politicians are saying. I'm certainly not going to go on record as bringing this subject up and saying, you better get ready for the unthinkable. But now it comes to the Obama administration, and they say he knows he's got to do it. He knows he's got to start warning for the unthinkable. And that's in the news articles. But notice he shows you the cause here in verse 12. Because iniquity. Iniquity means doing away with the law, not practicing the peaceful solution, character education that actually brings success. It brings everything a person wants in life. That's what it does if you use it. If you don't use it, you'll go the way of Cain, of course. But many false prophets, verse 11, then 12, and because iniquity will abound, will take a leap in these last days, the love of many will grow cold. I mentioned, and of course it leads to this verse 29 and of the nuclear bombs that are going to be used here. It says here, it shows the anger. Here's the frustration that is going on in the governments today. U.S. rethink strategy for the unthinkable. Suppose the unthinkable happened and terrorists struck New York or another big city with an atom bomb, or suppose they struck Abilene with a bomb, which the Air Force base would be a place to hit, you know, all of the to stop the armies, to stop the military. So think of that. What should people there do? The government has a surprising new message. Do not flee. Get inside any stable building and don't come out till officials say it's safe. Another article shows that you can expect nothing. You can expect nothing from the officials for 3 days after an attack. They're going to stay hid, it says. The advice is based on recent scientific analysts showing that the nuclear attack is much more survivable if you immediately shield yourself from the lethal radiation that follows a blast. Simple tactic seems as seen as saving hundreds of thousands of lives, even staying in a car. The studies show would reduce casualties by up to 50%. Hunkering down in a basement would be better by far. Underground, go into the rocks. But a problem for the Obama administration is how to spread the word without seeming alarmist about a subject that few politicians care to consider, let alone discuss. So officials are proceeding gingerly in a campaign to educate the public. Officials say they are moving aggressively to conduct drills, prepare communication guides, and raise awareness around emergency planners of how to educate the public. The new wave is citizen preparedness. For people who survive the initial blast, the main advice is to fight the impulse to run and instead seek shelter from lethal radioactivity. Even a few hours of protection, officials say, can greatly increase survival rates. To start this off, it could start today, actually. We've got North Korea and South Korea that are deeply caught up in the aggressive genes of their ancestors, who is the 12 tribes. North Korea warned Friday that another war with South Korea will involve nuclear warfare. Did you get that? North Korea, which they just had a skirmish the last war games that was played on this unpronounceable island that they're protective of. And North Korea says if this occurs again, you can expect nuclear warfare. The warning carried by the North's web site targeted at foreign readers came just a day after the South Korean military announced another artillery drill on the front line of this island, which was shelled by North Korea last month. Warning, said Seoul, will ensure that the island will pay the price for another provocation. Due to Seoul's readdress maneuvers of the confrontation and war, a war on the peninsula is not a matter of if, but when, he added. If war breaks out, it will lead to nuclear warfare and not be limited to the Korean Peninsula, he said. Well, the way the others are involved now, like Russia's warning the United States, don't do this, don't go over there, don't pull this stunt again. Russia urges South Korea to scrap the drill. Called for Seoul to halt joint military exercises with the U.S. on Saturday as North Korea threatens military retaliation. Yes, nuclear military retaliation. As a result of this now, everything is heightened. All the military is on alert, including Russia. Russian armed forces on high alert over North Korea. Russia announced Tuesday that its armed forces in the east are on high alert, ready to fight. Late on Wednesday, the U.S. tested its newest round of interceptors, spending $100 million to blast a missile from the Marshall Islands to the Pacific Ocean towards California. The anti-ballistic missile system failed. $100 million, and it failed. Well, you're in good hands, as commercial said. So the U.S. is rethinking its unthinkable strategy. You see, there was one more thing that I wanted to show you here. Nuclear terrorist attack. New survival guidelines. What should you do if the unthinkable happens? A nuclear terrorist attack. New government guidelines. It says, according to the New York Times, trying to get the information out to the public, without seeming alarmist, is a problem that the Obama administration faces. I've got another that I want to show you that because the prophecy shows the same thing. It's about the fallout. what occurs in the bombing is what the radiation afterwards, that's what we're told will take place in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Now, the history of the nuclear weapons, it's starting. Now remember Yahshua's words here. Remember all the prophecies of the house of Yahweh established in the last days. I will establish my house. In Genesis 49, in the last days, this is going to be done by the 12 tribes who have become a multitude of nations. Then he shows the genes there in Genesis 49. And of course, what he shows there in Genesis 49 in each one of those tribes can be seen among the multitude of nations now in preparing for this war, as we just read, and thinking the unthinkable. But notice he says here in verse 14 that along with this darkening of the sun, the increase in iniquity, the increase in false prophets in verse 11, increase in iniquity in verse 12, and then he says, this message of mine, he's speaking here, this message is going to be preached in all the world. Well, of course, the prophecies say the same thing. Isaiah 2:2 shows that it will be preached in all the world, to all nations. And then we've covered several other prophecies now that has been prophesied for this time period to be done by the house of Yahweh, and showing who it's going to be, who is actually called or assigned to bring forth this message. Let them foretell them, the two witnesses. Yahshua was speaking of that work, knowing that he was going to be the high priest over that work in these last days. But notice on down here, he said it's going to be just as the days of Noah. But then in verse 34, he says, I say unto you, that generation, look at 33, in the same way, when you see all these things, when you see all these things, which includes this message of his going to all nations, including the two witnesses, this is the two witnesses, he says, let them foretell these things. So he's speaking of the two witnesses taking this message to all the world. Well, of course, they don't do this work by themselves. As Isaiah showed, his house would be established. Two witnesses is also shown to be the ones to establish the house. The houses, two of them. In Zechariah, he says, in Zechariah 4 and 5, he actually shows they're taking it to a Babylonian land not yet established. Now remember all those things. And then here he says, the Savior says, that the message is going to be preached. When you see this message being preached, when you see the bombs that can darken the sun, verse 29, have you ever seen that before? Have you ever read it in history where there's a bomb darkened the sun? Have you ever read in history where there was a bomb? Other than this one invented in my generation. And look what he says there about the generation. Verse 33, he said, when you see all these things, that generation will not pass away till all these things are fulfilled. What a beautiful prophecy this is, bringing forth the work of Yahweh and the nuclear bombs that the world is so scared of right now. And then he says, it's my house. He says, in the last days, I will establish my house. Well, we know it's the house of Yahweh. It's always been called the house of Yahweh. Now, I was born in 1934. This article, History of the Nuclear Weapons, starting with the scientific breakthrough of the 30s. I was born in 1934. This article plainly says, starting with the breakthrough, 1930, S-30s, 1930s. I was born in 1934, starting with the breakthrough of the 30s, starting a generation that the Savior is speaking of here, a generation that won't pass away till you see all of it, including this message of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nation, and then the end will come. How could it be any plainer? Where else could you go besides Yahweh's house? Where? Think of it. Are you a person that couldn't figure this out now, with all the evidence we have and what is taking place, there's something wrong upstairs here somewhere or another. Well, we're going to get into it here in a minute and show you how hard it is for today's thinkers. Today's thinkers, because of the fact that the diseases that have been brought forth also from the 12 tribes, and as Jeremiah said in 23 verses 14 and 15, he said, they've all brought the sodomy, this confusion, mentally ill. They've brought it to this last generation. They've scattered it throughout the world with the sodomy, The sodomy is getting to where it's open now. I don't know if you've watched the news and see what's taking place. The Pope had an audience this week. I was called about it. The person said I wanted to vomit when I saw it. But the young men came in before the Pope. They stripped down to the waist, stripped naked down to the waist. They did an acrobatic show in front of him, and the nuns were cheering them on, and it makes me think of all the children, the orphans' homes, that haven't we done so many wonderful works, though, Lord, that Yahshua mentioned in chapter 7. Haven't we done all these wonderful works? And he says, get away from me, you who practice iniquity. Iniquity will abound in this generation. Will abound? How's it abounding? By television, radio, telephone? It's coming forth from Hollywood. I'm wondering how many lawsuits is coming at the Catholic Church, how many will have to come before the people wake up and say, what in the world has gone on all these years? When the Crusade started, so did orphanages. And from those orphanages, if you'll look it up, I'm going to read some, bring some out in the letters, Yahweh willing, in the prophetic word. From those orphanage, boys were used. They were used, they were raped, they were made to be sodomites. And they were released out into the public, those that they could release. This is how this stuff has spread. There's a lot more sodomites in the world than you would ever believe today. They're running the world. And Yahweh shows their minds are confused, and that is what's bringing forth the wars. What we're seeing right here is a matter of iniquity, the increase of iniquity and the love that Yahweh put within the natural man disappearing from the natural man. Well, in this generation now, I was born in 1934, starting with the history of the nuclear bomb, starting with the scientific breakthrough of the 30s, which made their development possible, and continuing through the nuclear arms race and nuclear testing of the Cold War, the issue of proliferation and possible use for terrorism still remains in the early 21st century. today, December the 18th, I believe it is, 2010, it's still continuing. The first fusion weapon, also known as atomic bombs, were developed jointly by the United States, Britain, and Canada during World War II, in which was called the Manhattan Project, to counter the assumed Nazi Germany atomic bomb project. In August 1945, I was 11 years old. I saw this. I lived through it, as Yahshua actually prophesied that I would. Yes, this generation is going to see it and witness it. Be a witness to what sodomy brings, and all other kinds of sins too, but most of it is brought forth from that very thing, a poison mind. During the Cold War, the Soviet Union and the United States each acquired nuclear weapons arsenals, numbering in the thousands, placing many of them into rockets which would hit targets anywhere in the world. Currently, there are at least 9 countries with functional nuclear weapons. A considerable amount of international negotiating has focused on the threat of nuclear warfare and the proliferation of nuclear weapons to new nations or groups. Quite a few pages on this, but remember now, in this same generation, and now they're saying we've got to start thinking the unthinkable. Well, when an explosion, this is the one I want to show you, when an explosion takes place, Yahweh is still under control, and of course he says he has a place of safety. If you don't believe that, you're a fool, as Yahshua said. I believe it 100%. I'm standing in it. But here's a nuclear explosion, and if you can see about the center of it right here, and then you see the air, the wind, coming out this way. If you see the first, it goes up. This is the radiation and the fallout. It goes straight up from the explosion. Then it starts to drop down, and it's carried with the wind. It comes down upon you until you be destroyed, Yahweh says in Deuteronomy 28, where he fully describes this nuclear bomb that is that the world is saying, now we're going to have to start rethinking this now, and we're going to have to get ready for what is taking place. Well, of course, this is coming, as I've been leading up to for months and months and months now, concerning this nuclear war and concerning the Babylon. And that's what I want you to go back to right now, is the 13th chapter of Isaiah, where we see this burden of Babylon. We covered it last week, but I didn't really want to cover what I want to cover today, because it takes a long time to get this over. But you've got to understand it. First, in chapter 11 there, if you remember, he shows you the work of the last days. The work of the last days, and a message that is going to be taken out by the branch, the two olive trees, the branches that pour out their golden oil into the people, letting them have salvation, a place in the kingdom, which is a training period by the last days witness. A training period that Yahweh shows will take place to establish or bring in the rest of the number that he wants to use in his kingdom, and receive the great powers that he intends to give to his house. Well, here in chapter 13 now, it's a burden of Babylon. Now, of course, most people get it in their minds, if they know anything about history, geography or so forth, they get it in their minds, a certain city that sits in a certain place, that of course was destroyed. So that's all they can see. But this is not what this is speaking of here. First off, he's talking about chapter 11 and the same thing Yeshua was talking about taking a message to all nations, all the world. That prophecy started in Isaiah 2, where it says, in the last days, I will establish my house in the chief of the nation. But here he says, now the burden against Babylon, He says, the burden against Babylon, which Isaiah, son of Amos, saw. This is the same Babylon as we see in Revelations. It's the characteristics of what we see in that religion. And of course, Isaiah, the prophet, showed that this character that they were bringing forth, which was actually started with Nimrod, the character with the Nimrod schools of higher learning. I hope you remember those sermons that was started by Cush. Well, it says, lift up a banner upon a high mountain, raise your voice. The internet and television are the highest mountains you can come from now. And this is talking about a promotion. So get the dirt and rocks out of your thinking here. It's like the Tower of Babel, which was not a tower, but an ideology that was going to build strength and so forth to the people where they could become very strong and keep from being scattered by other people that was forming colonies and armies and so forth. Lift up the banner on the high mountains, raise your voice to them, wave your hands so that they may enter the gates of the called out ones. Well, of course, that's exactly what we're doing. Look at verse 6 now. At verse 6, he says, wail, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. The day of Yahweh, if you know anything about my writings or the previous sermons, you'll know the day of Yahweh is that day right now when he is dealing with the nations, when the time period of the message is going out to all the nations, he's judging among the nation. And then at the end of that, it ends with nuclear war. But the great day of Yahweh, see, in this same chapter here is shown with the burden against Babylon, or the prophecy against Babylon. Babylon, or confusion, against the confusion it's brought. But the great day of Yahweh here is mentioned. He says, last days, the great day of Yahweh, or last days, it's also called. And this Babylon is headed for destruction. But Babylon was destroyed. Remember the city. So it's not the city he is speaking of here. Babylon, the city of Babylon was destroyed. It no longer exists. Bunch of rocks and waste, as Yahweh prophesied it would be. But the ideology is still alive. And of course, it's talked about by every prophet, condemned by every prophet, and all the apostles. Now, Isaiah is also showing us the great day of Yahweh and Babylon that was also shown by Yael. If you turn over to the second chapter of Yael, and I start here with, verse 26, he says, for you will eat. Now, he's speaking of the house of Yahweh, and he always carries this forth. He, like Isaiah did, he carries forth the work of Yahweh, and then he shows on the other hand, the world. Like right now, we're going to have buffalo for dinner, very enjoyable dinner, and the world is wondering, how are we going to get this message out about the unthinkable? And how are we going to warn the people without becoming alarmist, and everybody start condemning the politicians for letting this get this far? How could you possibly allow this to take place? So then comes the accusers now. And this is what Caesar, if you read what Caesar put up with, he put up with the same thing that's taking place right now and going to take place and get even worse. The accusers come in and said, well, President so-and-so wanted to make all this money off of this nuclear education. This education that come from the School of Higher Learning. He wanted to make some money off of it. Do you realize he took in several billion dollars here? Now that saved you all these taxes because he took in this money on these bombs. Well, these are the excuses as to why we let the nations get in such a stupid mess as we have now, to where we know that once it starts, and Caspar Weinberger even wrote a book on this, The Next War, and he laid down this scenario for you, showing how that one little mess like we're seeing right now in Israel, in Iraq, Afghanistan, yes, Afghanistan is still capable right now with others that are trying to get help like Pakistan. Pakistan is a great supporter, and they're trying at this time, and many people know this, they're trying to get allies from Russia and China to commit themselves. Now, under the table, maybe they already have committed themselves. So, when would be the best time to hit? Well, we have the United States now with two major wars on their hands. The president is being griped out because of the billions of dollars we've sunk into these two wars. So we're weakened somewhat. Caesar is weakened. So now would be probably the best time. So if we have a war here, we want to hit Iran, or they know that the United States and Israel wants to get rid of Iran. The word is out that they want to devastate the armies of Iran and be able to go in and take the cities without too much fighting. So that's their plans to destroy. Now, the way the armies are set up in Iran, it would take nuclear bombs to do this. Remember, a third part of the people are going to be destroyed over that fourth part of the earth. That's a prophecy for your generation right now, when the House of Yahweh message is also going out to warn the world, all nations of this. So right now, they're trying. I would say that there are hopes or maneuvers even being done to start a war that would get North Korea, who is an ally already with, or at least in negotiations with Iran, and if they got those two to fighting right now, if they got Iran involved with a war, which they hope won't get out of hand, but it'll keep them busy so that they could go in and take Iran. It would keep North Korea from getting involved with Iran if they go in to take Iran. Now, on the other hand, you have the enemies that's saying, this is the United States maneuvers to take over this land. So let's pick the time. So there's a lot of intelligence on the other side that the Pope talked about, the evil powers that are forming. Well, this was what he's speaking of. This was brought out by Malachi Martin. Russia, China, there's several others. All the Arab nations are Muslim religion. Remember, it's a fight of religion. Miri Malachi Martin says, is going to make war. Right away, the war started against the Muslim nations. So now you see the ones that don't want to come under the democratic system of the United States, which the Pope is pushing, because the Queen of Heaven is pushing this. The Queen of Heaven is pushing sin. The Muslim countries have a form of holiness that they believe in. I've talked to many of the leaders, and they believe in the laws of Moshe. And they still have this form of holiness that the Queen of Heaven, according to Malachi Martin, is attacking. Well, the scripture says the same thing. They will attack every form of holiness in this time period, the time period we're in right now. This will bring about a third part of man being killed over that fourth part of the earth. I'm saying the time is right now when the United States is spread out thin with its armies, that if another war does break out, then the enemy in their way of thinking is also blurred, would say, now's the time to hit. I think the United States knows this. I think their Pentagon would be fools if they hadn't considered it already. But I think they know this, and they're getting prepared for the worst now. It's gone too far. Well, here are the politicians, and they're saying, we've got to get word out to the people how to protect themselves, but what are you going to tell them? I don't want to tell them about the unthinkable. So it's been hidden up until now, but they've been talking about it for quite some time and saying, look, we've got to get this out. So they laid it on the Obama administration to take this to the public. So he's got to find a way, and he's going to bring it a little bit at a time. Well, this is called a time period called the Great Day of Yahweh, which we saw back in Isaiah now, that concerns the burden of Babylon that is shown there, showing us it's not Babylon the city, but Babylon the institution, the educational institution, in fact. And you will eat plenty, he says, be satisfied, and praise the name of Yahweh your Father, who has dealt bountifully with you, and my people will never be ashamed. And you will know that I am in the midst of those who lift up holy hands to Yahweh or rule as Yahweh rules, that I am Yahweh your Father, and that there is no other. Then my people will never be ashamed. Verse 28, and it will come to pass afterwards, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh that is left of the nations. Your sons, your daughters, all will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. He's telling you about a future. This right here should have been written in much more extension right here. It should have been explained. And you can do it with the Hebrew words by just more explanation in that verse. But these are talking about the offices that Yahshua talked about in Revelation 20. He's talking about the offices that's going to be given you and many other people that's going to come out of great tribulation even. Offices, working offices that's going to take place here. And your old man will be involved in the work. The young people will be involved in the work also. Verse 29 now. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days I will pour out my spirit. That's the same spirit you're receiving now. Pour out my spirit. He taught the laws of Yahweh. That's what he's talking about. Praise Yahweh. Now, verse 30, he said, and I will show wonders in the heavens. Now he's getting back to present day, the unthinkable. I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. That should have been extended too, and it can be by the Hebrew words and English, going into English with it. The sun will be turned into darkness. Well, you have the same thing here that the Savior is talking about. in Matthew 24, verse 29. The sun is going to be darkened, moon not give her light. The stars will fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens will be shaken, he said. At the same time, you're going to have nuclear war that will kill one third of man over a fourth part of the earth in and around the great river Euphrates. Then it will spread from there. And this is what we're going to see. It'll start there, but it won't stay there. The sun will be darkened. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and great day of Yahweh comes. Remember now, Isaiah 13, in the burden of Babylon, is speaking of the great day of Yahweh. The great day of Yahweh, the same time period that we see right here. Great day of Yahweh comes, and whosoever will call with the name Yahweh will be delivered. Will be delivered. That is, they will have the way to get to the house of Yahweh, to bring those people to his house, the place of safety. Praise Yahweh. And in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, these are mistranslated here. Mount Zion here means promotion of the 613 laws. Delivered for the 613 laws, promotion, the same wording that Isaiah 2 says, in the last days I will promote my house. Yahweh, in promoting his house, we just went through that period, he lifted me up for all the world to see with a $10 million bond on my head. That's the way he did it. Now he's lifting me up. And somebody told me they had a letter on the internet saying, why wasn't this man's name put down for Man of the Year? I haven't seen this prophetic word, but they say it's getting a lot of attention in the calendar, too. On the internet, they're saying we're getting a large number of favorable letters now. Before, it was hang them all. Well, Yahweh had to get their attention, and he got their attention, and now he's giving them the message from the same mouth. Praise Yahweh. He says, whosoever will call with the name Yahweh will be delivered to the place where the 613 laws are taught. And the way of peace, which is the word translated Jerusalem there. There will be deliverance, as Yahweh has said, among the remnant. The remnant whom the book of Romans shows we are. Now, this Babylon, if you'll pay close attention, I want to read you some information. The original Tower of Babel. Does it still stand? Yes, it does. And it's not made of rocks either. It's not speaking of rocks and brick. But pay close attention to what this says now. When the original Tower of Babel, when the arts and science had developed to such a degree as to contemplate building a city, and especially a tower whose top would reach into the heavens. The colleges in Abilene, if you notice, they try to build a tower. They have a prayer room. One of the preachers, I forgot his name now, but he is born in my same generation. And I used to tell, in fact, the first sermon I brought in college, I told how stupid the man was, that he couldn't even count to seven. Couldn't count to three and couldn't count to seven, and I brought that out in a sermon. But he built this tall tower, well, up into the heavens. In other words, what they're saying is they're going to build a tower to deceive the people. Now, this is talking about deception, but make them think that the heavens are on their side or that the Creator is on their side. And this is the psychology of this great tower. They built a building in New York, a high one. They built another high one. Then they built an Empire State Building and so forth. It's an impression. It's an idea of an impression that we are great. We're the greatest. And that's what was coming forth from the schools of science, the higher learning schools. Now, this was shown in Genesis 11:4, but from what is written there in the King James Version, unless you put the other scriptures throughout the Holy Scriptures, throughout the entire book of Yahweh, you'd never know what it's talking about. But we see then Isaiah saying the burden of Babylon. Then we see Yael bringing the same thing and saying they're going to destroy themselves in this particular time period. This phrase, it says, is not mere hyperbole, but an expression of pride and rebellion. Now, this is what the Hebrew authorities say on this word. This expression is not hyperbole, but an expression of pride and rebellion manifest by the Babel builders. Pride and rebellion. That is what the word Nimrod, when Cush fathered this school of higher learning, that's what it was called. He rebelled. That's what the word Nimrod means. He rebelled. Both the Assyrians and Babylonian kings, Semitic Assyrians and the Semitic Babylonians, put it that way, kings, greatly pride themselves upon the height of their pinnacle over the churches and boast of having the tops as high as the heavens. That's in history. Just as the Christians do today, they put their pinnacles high, and of course they try to make out like that this is bringing down the power of the heavens into the church. In Babylon itself, an ancient city now, city-state, in the plain of Shinar. Now, that was right. there was a city called Babylon. In fact, there were several cities called Babylon. But the one that is referring to, of course, was destroyed. And it gives you the place and the location. Now, the name is derived, get this, the name is derived from by the Hebrews. The name is derived by the Hebrews or from the Hebrews. That should tell you something. That the Hebrews is the ones that built this. That's what it should tell you, because they are the ones that built it. The 12 tribes are the ones that came up with this. Yeremiah 43 would fit right there, really, really great. Yeremiah, is it 43? I think it is. Yeremiah 43. Yes. Verse 13. Now this was when, of course, the priest come against Yeremiah like they did Samuel. But Yeremiah was prophesying and saying, you do this, and this is what's going to take place. You turn back into these sins, then this is what is going to take place. But at the same time, Yahweh knew they were going to go back into Egypt and take over Egypt. In fact, he prophesied they would be one. The nation would turn to being a Semitic nation, a Hebrew nation. He said, verse 13, he will demolish the sacred pillars of Beth Shemesh. This Beth Shemesh, it means house of the sun. And you're going to have to remember this now. Remember it, because there's many places, many other prophecies that go with this, and the names of gods, who are the names of rabbis, the names of the gods, the gods that they honored, are actually dead rabbis. And this started before they called themselves rabbis, so they have trouble, that is, the historians do, they have trouble tying it in, even though they know it, and even Unger's Bible Dictionary speaks of it, but they have trouble tying it together because of the word rabbi itself. It was under a different name that I will show you later because my time is up, but is under a different name. But notice he says Yahweh. This was a message that Yeremia, you need to read all that chapter there. Maybe you could read that today. But it's talking about that Yeremia was warning them. Well, they said, we don't want your warnings. You're trying to scare the people to keep them from going with us and building a great tower in Egypt and taking over that land. So we want you to shut your mouth and leave us alone. And then others said, we're going to kill you if you keep on prophesying in the name Yahweh. This is part of it that you see here in this chapter. But remember everything that's said because it ties in with the full plan of Yahweh in carrying this thing out like he did. Because Egypt is not run by anyone except Hebrews today, that is, Israelites. He will demolish the sacred pillars, but he's speaking of the end again here. Even though some of it took place in wars, he's actually speaking again here of the end of days, end of time. He will demolish the sacred pillars of Beth Shemesh, that's the house of the sun. I think his name was Nebuchadnezzar. He was the father of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, in Nebo, you couldn't get the name, the historians couldn't get the name right. It was more difficult than it was with Nebuchadnezzar. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar is one of the great horns of the altar to which Yahshua was tied. And as you can see, I got a difficult job ahead of me here. But we are going to, I am going to make you understand it. He will demolish the sacred pillars of Beth Shemesh, that's the house of the sun, that is, there was many set up, if you remember, in Israel. Beth Shemesh became very popular in Israel. Very popular on the temple, in Jerusalem mountains, in fact, and even in the days of Solomon. So get that all in your mind, this sun god, Beth Shemesh, the worship of the sun. The reason December 25th was chosen is because it was the birthday of the sun god. See how it ties together? Well, it's still coming down, this confusion, still coming down to us today when they're trying to make you think you're worshiping the true Savior, Yahshua, and following the disciples, because they couldn't turn people from doing this. There's too many million people that was following Yahshua and his disciples. So they tried to bring these deceptions in, and they did it in a rather unique way. You could tell that the psychologists here were the best in the world. Well, they still are. That's all they study. And they brought forth and they have all this experience. Nebo was a really, truly top scientist who had had all of the education of the scientific world at his disposal, and they actually thought this man was really could actually had the power coming from the sun to him. And it meant, that word itself means strength. We'll get into all of this. I'm going way ahead here for you. But anyway, the power of the sun, that is the city of Heliopolis in Egypt, and the house of the gods, Elohim of Egypt. Notice where it comes from, house of the gods, Elohim, That's a Hebrew name, by the way, of Egypt. He will burn with fire. Well, that burning now, that great burning that's speaking of here, is not he's going to take a match and set it on fire. It's a nuclear burning that the world sees now that we're going into. And they are trying to hide it and trying to keep it from leaking out, but we are going into that time period. I get this marked right here so I won't lose my place for next week. The things that the world is trying to catch up on now is a place of safety for the people. But there's not going to be, I'm afraid, enough basements, you know, to protect the people. Once this word gets out, they're going to be causing more trouble even for Caesar, because the fear is going to start spreading here very, very soon as the nations develop into their activity, the prophesied activity that is taking place in and around the great river Euphrates. And this right here, it could start today. It may not start today, but it's right on the verge of starting, as you can tell. And our politicians know this, and they're now getting worried about it, but they don't know how to tell the people. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.